Welcome to this session with Doug Addison. Doug is an international conference speaker, author, life coach, and stand-up comedian. For more information about his life-changing seminars and books, visit www.dougaddison.com. And now, here's Doug.
Hi, Doug Addison here, and welcome to Spirit Connection Live, coming to you from Los Angeles, California. I'm in my studio here, and we're just excited that you could join us. It is Wednesday, March 5th, 2014, and we're really excited that we've had record-breaking crowds, largest crowds I've ever spoken in front of. Is this webcast just looking at a green dot? But I know that you're out there. And who are all you people? My goodness, 5,000 people breaking our records. We're real excited. I got some exciting stuff this month, prophetic words. I'm going to be praying for people with chronic illness in just a little bit. So let's just get it going. Let's kick her off. And we just say this, Father, that you are moving on the internet right now, and you want to do something new, and you want to do something exciting. And God, we just pray that you would open up the heavens right now and just pour out a blessing on everyone listening. We just pray for the prophetic gift to flow, revelation. We pray for dreams and visions and angelic encounters. And also, we just ask, God, that your presence would come through, even on the podcast, on the repeat, on the recorded video later on, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, all right. Well, a lot of stuff to report here. Let me get my notes in front of me. Maybe you didn't know I had notes, but yes, I do. And I just want to make sure I cover all this stuff. And one thing is my website, dougaddison.com, in case you're watching this from somewhere else. I don't know how. But you should see a chat box on the right-hand side. But my website, dougaddison.com, and we have some resources there that you can check out. My internet training, the Dream Crash course, my tattoo interpretation, the prophetic tattoo interpretation online training. Also, you can get my free ebook called Let Your Night Dreams Point Towards Your Life Dreams. Just go to the front page and put in your name and address or email address, and we'll send that to you. I'm real excited for all that God's doing right now. And so I want to start with a prophetic word for this month. If you're listening to me right now, if you can hear my voice, guess what? You made it. You survived, because this has been one horrendous attack against those who are advancing right now. And March is coming in like a lion. You ever hear that? It's coming in like a lion with warfare and resistance. And I hate to say it, but it's going out like a lion too. Not in that sense, but it's going out with a roar. And the result is going to be, March is coming in like a lion, and it's going to come out with changing your character into being gentle as a lamb. That's God's intention for all this warfare and all this stuff kicking up right now. Humility is a key right now to get through. I keep saying this, but it really is. This year is, God is calling us to a new level of being humble, of serving others, of loving others, of connecting and reaching out. So if there's one word I'd describe the month of March with, is the word march. March. Forward motion will open the doors in front of you, and it'll close the doors behind you. It'll close the doors to the past. So as you go, things are going to open up. So don't just sit down. This is a time right now to move forward. You do not want to pull back. You don't want to stay idle. Do something new, and you'll see the doors open. It doesn't mean you have to move or anything, but just do something and watch the doors open. The first 3 months of 2014 has been a time of testing. And many people have been going through tests from God to see about, you know, promotions and things like that. Some people have taken themselves out of the game, but it's not time to back down. It's not too late if you've done that. God is promoting people right now, but he wants those who are going to overcome, stay humble in the process, so he can give you more. So watch for sudden advancement and surprises. Surprise advancements, not surprise attacks. Surprise advancements, because God is taking the callings and the gifts that were intended for those who have quit, for those who have burned out, and some of them who have even gone into heaven. God is taking those and giving them to those who are willing and ready. And this is going to unfold between now and July. So don't be surprised if some of you receive a sudden advancement. I just got a sudden advancement all of a sudden, wow, everything kicked on again at a higher gear than I've had over, gosh, almost a year. And it's amazing that it happened all in the last week or two. So this is a season of peace that's in the time of turmoil. So I'm not going to say that it's not a rough time. We are in a time that many people are experiencing extreme amounts of turmoil on the earth right now. And the weather is one of political things happening, and governments, and there's disharmony around, and just floating in the spiritual realm right now. It's so important to stay at peace during these storms. And here's three characteristics that the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, being released from God right now, for you to be able to grab hold of what He's doing and rise above your situation. That's what I always do. I rise above it. One of them, well, the three things are wisdom, peace, and encouragement. These are the things that God is releasing right now, and to focus on in your life. God is granting a huge amount of peace and encouragement for those who need it right now. And we need the spirit of wisdom like never before. I believe that the spirit of wisdom is going to overtake the gift of prophecy this year, and we have had the gift of prophecy has really been just overflowing. There's prophetic teams with places you go, churches, coffee houses, there's prophetic teams around. But God is really doing something new, and we're going to start seeing wisdom teams, you know, get a wisdom word, what to, you know, tell you what to do with all that prophetic. Proverbs 3:19, by wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundation, and by understanding, He set the heavens in place. So God's created a new understanding, a new foundation through wisdom for this year. And God says this, that the spirit of encouragement will win this year. It will. By the end of the year, let's check back and see those who are operating in levels of encouragement, encouraging others, will find themselves at new levels. And those who have been cutting people down, and you know, there's people out there who call themselves watchdog ministries, and I don't see that really. I just don't see that. You know, something that God's doing right now. Yeah, we need protection. You know, we need the people to be protected, but the people they're picking on aren't always anyone bad. And I'm accused of being, you know, a wolf in sheep clothing, they call me, and like, what the heck is that? You know, because they're not used to seeing a new wineskin, and this is what's going to happen to you if you walk into the new things. You begin to do something new. Those around you aren't going to understand it, and I'll guarantee you that because I've been a forerunner for a number of years. If you know me well enough, I teach people to be nice. I'm not bitter about it. I've been telling people, yeah, it's been a rough time. There's not a lot of people to talk to when you're a forerunner. Because when you really start forerunning in something new, like I'm doing right now, you know, we're reaching into Hollywood, we're in the gay and lesbian community, the new age, into the tattooed and pierced, into the ones who have been rejected by the church, reaching into that group. And now some people, they talk about it and they say things that they want to do it or they think they do, but then you start talking brass tacks what that looks like about loving people, and they go, wow, you know, they think I'm a heresy or something. And I'm just saying that Jesus's love will win in the end. There's political upheaval happening right now, and I'm not a prophet that talks about, I don't talk about disasters. I'm not an earthquake prophet. I'm not a political prophet, or as we've seen in the past, I'm not even a football prophet. But I do, although I do get some prophetic words at football games, but I don't usually get the right team. My team doesn't usually win. But there's birth pains right now. These are not judgment. These are not something that God's releasing judgment. He's releasing something new, and these are birth pains on the earth, and it's prophetic. It's a prophetic sign that the old ways are being displaced, because we're seeing this with the old being displaced. Old leaders, old controlling ways are being displaced. We even saw it in the Winter Olympics, where the old champions, you know, many of the reigning champions were replaced by something new. The old is gone and the new has come. So you're probably heard about the death of Prophet Bob Jones on February 14th. Bob went to be with the Lord, and he was a personal friend of mine, a spiritual father. I got the opportunity to mentor with Bob. Bob was, he was so many people's best friend. He was so authentic. He died at age 84, and you know, just he was ready to go back into heaven. And he helped me develop my seer gift more than anyone. He was the most amazing seer, most humble man I've ever met with the level of his gift. And I got to travel with him and speak over several years. And we started our ministry, InLight Connection, back in 2001 to fulfill the prophecies of Bob Jones. I don't know if you know that, but in 1975, Bob died for the first time and he went to Jesus, and Jesus was standing there and said one thing to him. He said, "Did you learn to love?" That was all that was asked for everyone that was coming up. Did you learn to love? Did you learn to love? And he got to Bob, and he sent Bob back, and he says, "I want you to go back because I'm going to do a move. When the population of the earth reaches up over 6 billion, I'm going to do a move, and 1 billion young people are going to come in one huge sweep." Now, Bob got this in 1975, along with some amazing prophetic words about the abortion pill, about smartphones with TVs being disconnected. He saw all this stuff ahead of time, and so his message really has just been really simple. Did you learn to love? And he was preparing people for this 1 billion that was going to come in. And I want to say, just let it come, because he said this when he goes back to heaven. That's what he told us. When he goes back to heaven, it's going to be a sign that the 1 billion are going to begin to come in. And so there's so many prophetic signs about Bob's passing. First of all, he was such a seer; his whole life was a prophetic word. Bob died on 2/14. You know, that was February 14th, Valentine's Day. The prophet of love dies on the day of love. And it was 2/14. 2 Kings 2:14 was the passing of the mantle from Elijah to Elisha. Just like Bob right now, he said that his mantle would go back to Africa, where it came from. But his calling, his prophetic words, his assignments are still there. And you don't have to pick someone's mantle up to do something. You know, I'm raising my hand saying, "God, if there was anything that he wasn't able to fulfill, or if there's anything he prophesied that needs to be fulfilled, give it to us to do, because we're ready." And I've been just prepared for this for so long, or you know, just preparing in the sense that, you know, never anticipating his death or anything like that, but just preparing that, wow, this billion is coming. It's going to be exciting. Here's another prophetic sign. Bob died at 6:22 a.m. Matthew 6:22, the eye is the lamp of the body. Bob was the true eye of the body. He was a true seer. And boy, let's pray that the eye, like Matthew 6:22, if the eye goes dark, you know, the whole body's dark. Let's just pray that we have the light of God, that we're able to see and have seers rise up like Bob, because I can feel it now that he's gone. I tell you, I've talked to others. He was praying for a lot of us, and I can feel that now that he's back in heaven. It's been a change. You know, we had a lot of warfare over the last couple of weeks. Here's another prophetic sign. There were two earthquakes in South Carolina the day he died. And the first one was 4.1, Revelation 4:1. The day Bob dies, I looked, and there was a door standing open in heaven. There was just, these are just a few. A true seer, a prophet, a man of God goes to heaven, and he left us with a lot of work and a lot of prophetic words to fulfill. But God told me this, is that when Bob's body would go into the earth, a spiritual drought would be broken. And I was there to experience it. John 12:24, Jesus said, "Very truly I say to you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed, but if it dies, it produces many seeds." This is Bob's life. As he goes into the ground, as he does this, God is producing a harvest of 1 billion that's going to come out of it. And we've got to go in and really roll up our sleeves and get ready to get messy, because it's going to be an amazing time. So we've been in a drought of the supernatural since 2008. Very little bit, very little. A lot of stuff happened, but God says it's being broken right now. I've had, since the last 2 weeks, I mean, since I've been home, I've had supernatural encounters. I have had spiritual downloads. I've had spiritual experiences, prophetic dreams, more than I've had in a long time, just in the last 2 weeks. So Bob will be missed, and we pray for his wife Bonnie, friends of ours, and his entire family. And our condolences go out to them as he leaves the earth. But here's some good news: Bob left the earth, but he left me with a gift, and I was so excited. I don't know if you've heard, but I got healed last week of Lyme disease at Bob's funeral. And I was praying for, I'll be praying later on in the webcast for people who are suffering from chronic disease because, hey, I've suffered really terribly. I feel for anybody who's been suffering. I was very sick with Lyme-related infections in my body for the last 8 months. And so thanks so much for those of you who've been praying for me. I had to cancel events for February. I was so sick. This was just 3 weeks ago. And, I didn't know how I was going to be able to get on a plane. When Bob died, I wanted to go to North Carolina, but for his funeral, but I had no idea how I was going to make it. In fact, all the way up to the last day, I was going back and forth, the last 2 days, back and forth, back and forth. I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can do it. I'm really sick. But I did hear God. And, he spoke to me, said I would be healed if I go there. So I toughed it out, got on the plane, worst flight I've ever had. I've had fly, you know, I fly a lot. And on the way to that funeral, we went through heavy weather and I almost threw up. And it was an intense time, but I knew there was a breakthrough coming. So when I arrived, here's what happened. You get a word from God, here's how you get a breakthrough. I have been healed of an incurable genetic disease called Huntington's. I was healed of Huntington's disease, all the symptoms in 2001. My DNA still shows I'm sick. Hey, you know what? The best disease you can ever have is one with no symptoms. I'm defying all medicine and all logic. And here I was sick again for the last 8 months. Here, the interesting thing is before we started InLight Connection, what I'm doing right now, in 2001, I got so sick I had to leave my job. I was pastoring in the San Francisco Bay Area. I had to leave my job, and I went out and got healed. I got healed at a Todd Bentley conference, and a lot of people prayed for me. But then I went off from 2001 till now, and last year hit the wall. Oh my goodness, I was so sick. Didn't even know what it was until last December with Lyme. And I feel for anybody who has any type of chronic disease. And it was so bad that I just really can't even tell you how tough it has been on Linda and I, not being able to work. And the cash flow hasn't been coming in from my ministry, but thank you so much to those who stepped up and donated during that time. And I hadn't even announced it yet. So when I arrived in North Carolina, in South Carolina, I kicked the prayer up, telling everyone I met about the sickness that I was experiencing. I felt kind of dumb. Here I am with a bunch of healing. A bunch of healing people, Todd Bentley, all kinds of people were there that have the healing gifts. And here I am saying, hey, I had to call off because I was sick, And it was hard. It was hard to go tell everyone. And I felt like a hypochondriac, I'm sick, I'm really sick. But you know what? I wanted to boost up. If you want to get healed, here's the key: get as many people praying for you as you can. And I have had a lot of prayer. I have a prayer group around me. I have my intercessors. We've got over 400 intercessors. It doesn't matter how many you have. What matters is how much they care, how much they pray, and how much they'll walk with you. And so don't back down. I have not backed down. My staff has been on the phone. They were on the phone with me praying. Listen, 7 days a week from July all the way through, I think last month in January, 7 days a week with me, sometimes more than once a day. Talk about prayer. We were storming the gates of heaven. And then when we would get something, God would tell us how to pray for strategies, Jesus said, this one needs this. And, like this one needed prayer and fasting. This one, don't lay hands on them. This one, people have to leave. Every healing's different. We have it in a box. We have it all nailed down. This is the way it happens. You know what? That's probably why we don't see a lot of healings, because everything's different. You need to ask God for wisdom. And so when God spoke to me about getting healed, I arrived, started kicking everything up, but I knew it was going to be at the burial service in Moravian Falls. And that's where I got infected by the tick. I used to live in Moravian Falls a number of years ago. And so we were at Bob's burial service a week ago, Saturday. A gentle breeze came, and Bob always said, can you feel the wind? This gentle wind comes, can you feel the wind of the Spirit? And a group of us were walking away, And we stopped to pray for each other because the presence came really strong. Bobby Connor's next to me. He turns around. He prays for me. A blue light appears between me and him, and I'm healed instantly. And, I almost lost my life back in October because we'd moved to LA, and we'd coming back in, and we were actually had to leave here, back in 2006, 8 years ago. We had to leave here because there was so much warfare against us and things, that now we're coming back in. We're experiencing the same type of thing, but we've got 8 months, of being sick is now over. We pressed in, almost died, but I canceled events. I've never missed any, but you know, I want to say this. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing right now, because I'm usually a prophetic sign that others are about to, get released and experience the same thing. In my 2014 prophetic word I released in January, I said, in the spirit of giving, it was right around Christmas, the year, this year, God is freeing up gifts and callings that have been given to people who have stopped using them or people who have gone to heaven. Now, I knew that there was going to be some people go to heaven. I didn't know who they were. I wasn't going to speculate. I've been around long enough to not do that. But it's again, it's not about getting their mantle. The most important thing is that you get their assignments, that you get their prophecies, that you grab hold of what it is that they weren't able to do or what they were called to do that you can do. Your gifts are shifting right now. It's like a chessboard. God is doing something new right now. Last August, I was visited by Jesus. Now, I usually get angelic encounters. I don't get Jesus encounters often, maybe even only a couple times actually in my life. But this encounter was right before we moved from Santa Maria to Los Angeles, and Jesus came in the room and told me some things that have already happened actually. And he said one more thing to me. And he said that basically, I knew that when Jesus came, I knew I was about to go through a rough time. Because why would Jesus come? Why wouldn't he send a messenger angel? If he came himself, then it was probably going to be a rough time. And that's exactly what happened with the Lyme disease and everything turned upside down in my life. But I held on. And he said this to me. He said, on your next birthday, you're going to have a breakthrough. And all the things, there's going to be a turnaround happen. And all the things, the prophetic promises that God has had for your eye, he said, I have had for you, are going to start to take place. And I want to tell you something. That my last few birthdays, in fact, since 2008, I've always had a blessing on my birthday. Always. God has always given me a gift. In fact, I came back to Jesus time and time again on my birthday. And so in 2008, that all shifted. That boy, everything got weird on my birthday every year. And Jesus said, this year is going to be a powerful one. Well, guess what? My birthday's this weekend, and I turned 55 on Saturday. Well, I'm not really happy about that part, and I wonder how the heck did I get 55 all of a sudden. But God said that He's going to turn things around, not just for me, but for many people who have suffered, because I actually am one of those prophets who live things out, and usually I'm like a barometer for what's happening in the body, and in the church. And so I've had this illness in my body, and it's symbolic that we've had this infection that we have to get rid of, and it is the lack of love. And it is the infection that there's just a lack. There's almost a coldness that has come over people, and we need to really shake people awake. If we want to reach the billion, it's not going to happen with our current operating system, and we have to get outside of that. So something new is going to shift this month, and those who have been waiting and suffering. Also, God spoke to me about this because I've seen it. I saw it in the spirit, first of all, and then I saw some people with it. Vertigo in key leaders right now. One of the last thing that you really need if you're a leader is to have vertigo. And so if you experience this, there's a good chance that there's people around you who are not in alignment with what you're doing or are praying against you. Now, some are praying against you, but some are just not in alignment. Vertigo is a negative spin, and it can happen when intercessors or leaders or people are praying from or thinking about going in a different direction. Now, granted, it's a physical illness, but also, just so you know, that leaders can experience physical illnesses as a prophetic sign of what's happening around them. Most people don't know that. They think it's just all natural. So, God, we just pray that you would break this right now in Jesus' name. Break off the vertigo. Reveal what it is, what the source is. Show, God, I pray for these leaders. And these key intercessors, not all intercessors, because there's some intercessors that are getting vertigo because you're praying in the wrong way than you need to be right now. But there's mostly that these leaders and some key intercessors that really need to just have God's strategy right now. Just break the power of the enemy and show them, God, show them what Satan doesn't want them to see. Show them the attack that they can overcome it in Jesus' name. All right. Wow, I'll be writing this up. I do it every month. I write it up, and I'll release it on my blog, DougAddison.com. And I'm excited about some things that's coming up, but I want to pray for people with chronic illness, first of all. You know, I have had all kinds of stuff happen to me, but generally I've been pretty healthy most of my life. For, you know, I'm 55. I've never been in the hospital. I have one filling in my mouth. I've been very fortunate. Broke a finger playing basketball. You know, I've been very fortunate and very blessed all my life. And so when I got this chronic illness, I never, you know, I don't want to judge anybody. But, you know, if you've never had a chronic illness, in the back of my head, you know, I am a high driver, a type A high driving person in the spirit and in the natural. So I never understood chronic illness. I didn't, till I got it and I couldn't get out of the chair. Then I started realizing, my goodness, you know, I can't do this. I just can't get up. And so I feel for people. I had to tell you, I walked 8 months of hell thinking I was going to die or wanting to die. It was so bad, having people pray for me. And so I want to just say this. Get a strategy. First of all, get people around you praying for you. You've got to kick the intercession up. And Bob used to tell me that, you know, for big miracles to happen, we need at least 1,000 people praying. And I want to just say, hey, we'll just cut that in half. You know that. God's into the deal. You know, if Abraham could go and say, with Sodom and Gomorrah, if he can say, how about if we only find a few people, you know, how about one? So I'm just going to say, Father, in Jesus' name, would you break this thing? Would you break chronic illness? Get people. I'm just coming out of prayer mode. I just realized I was talking about the strategy. Get people praying, first of all. Go to healing rooms, go to places, get people to soak you on a regular basis like I did. I was having people on the phone every day soaking me for at least 6 months. I had my prayer group, I had on my text, I had, you know, I would text my prayer group. If anything's going on, I get them on the phone. I did not take it lightly. You don't have to know any big names, you don't. Because God is the God of big names. And you don't have to know any. But if, you know what? If someone's coming around, what I found, most people who are sick, they don't have a strategy. You don't have a, you know, I would go after it just as badly as you're going after medication. And that's saying that you can't take medication. I'm saying that you have to have a strategy as well in place to get healed. The two times I've gotten healed, I have actually pressed in and cut things up, and then ask God to show you the different layers that it might be. The generational ties, cut those off. Go through the different layers that you need to find out, all right? Begin to pray every day. God, show me what Satan doesn't want me to see about my illness. God, show me what it is. Give me strength each day. Show me who can pray with me. Man, I got on the phone with different people, some specialized in cutting off the past, some specialized in a lot of deaths in my family, which I've had, and some specialized in cutting off this and cutting off that. And each one was like chipping away, chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. And then bam, 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 all of a sudden it breaks through. And that's what you need to do. So let's pray right now. Father, I thank you that you are the God of miracles. And so, Lord, I just thank you that you performed a miracle in my life more than once. And with Huntington's disease, with a terminal illness that has killed almost my entire family, and now with Lyme disease, I just now speak over those people right now that are listening to this, or even the ones who need to be listening or are listening to this later or watching this. In the name of Jesus, I speak over you to be healed. And God, I pray that there would be a strategy from heaven released right now. Healing angels be dispatched to each person. And God, I pray that whatever it is, the sickness that's inside would leave now. And I don't care how it leaves, it's going to go. And Father, I thank you that things are lifting off people's livers right now. I'm seeing that off of, just see someone with the pancreas is being activated to be able to work properly. And there's digestive problems and all the different things. And I don't want to name off all the symptoms. I'm just saying, I'm hearing this right now. God's doing some deep healing. And I just feel that some intercessors who've been just, I can feel the tension in my shoulders all of a sudden. I know it's a word of knowledge that there's people that are watching that have been carrying the burden for those who are sick around you, and now it just lifted off me. God's saying, give it to him, give it to him, give it to him, because there's something new coming right now. And so I just pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, anointing of oil, of what to eat, what to drink. It would be wisdom right now. Father, I thank you. My hands are on fire, my feet are on fire, and that there's a presence of healing right now. And it doesn't matter how it comes, we just speak it now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, notice I don't close my eyes when I pray, because you know what? I want to see what's going on. I want to see in the spirit. I don't always, sometimes I close my eyes, but not usually, because I want to see what's happening. You know, I'm a seer, I love seeing stuff. And I know that God's doing things. Now, if you get healed, let us know. DougAddison.com, Facebook, Twitter, the Doug Addison, Doug T. Addison. Let us know what happens, because we know we want to give God praise and you know, track that testimony as well. But listen to me, you know, don't say you're healed if you're not. It's what I always do. I don't get the prayer once. You know, my family has. I know a lot of people, in other words, that have died, and I got healed because they grabbed hold of the prayer of faith and they held on to it once and never got any other prayer. And that's a partial, that's a piece of the message that Jesus had to pray three times. It was sometimes it was different. I'm telling you, don't just pray once and stand on faith. Pray 1,000 times and stand on faith. And then once you get healed, like I have to battle this thing. There are days when it feels like it's coming back on me, and I have to get up and take authority and, you know, and make sure it doesn't come back on me. So you have to battle these things. And sometimes it sets in, and other times it's instant. Sometimes healing sets in. You start getting stronger and stronger and stronger, and sometimes it's instant. But I'm just proclaiming right now, healing, healing, healing. In Jesus' name. All right. Hey, events. I'm going to be in Cleveland, Ohio, March 16th on Sunday at Bethel, Cleveland. Hey, guys. Excited because we actually planted our first church in Kent, Ohio, and I grew up in Akron. And my daughter, Amanda, and her husband, Andy, and my grandson, Alex, live in Cleveland. And I thank you for inviting me. I'm so excited. Middleburg Heights campus at 9 a.m. and 11, then the Brunswick campus at 10 a.m. and then Akron, I'll be at 6 p.m. all on March 16th. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, don't forget about the donation. I keep these things free. They cost us. You know what? We have 5,000. Do you know that's 50,000 or more video minutes? That's a lot. And we got a lot of people connecting, and we keep it free. But it is costing a chunk of change every month. And I want to continue to advance this and try to keep it affordable. And not only that, but also just our ministry, what we do. And I've been off work for a number of months, and we're trying to rebuild. Plus, I'm starting the moving towards the writing of the Tattoo Prophet, my reality show. And we've got connections, and we're doing all that starting next month, and already moving towards that. Plus, all the things that we do, you know. And I just appreciate those who have donated. But I just pray that you'd partner with us. We've had so many people step up, and you know, just partner with us on a monthly basis. You get an insider update from me, and some other things like my intercessors and partners will be on a phone call with me tomorrow night. And that'll be exciting because we're going to pray and break things open over people's lives. Things are happening right now. So there's a donate button, but you can also partner. Go to DougAddison.com. And don't forget about the daily prophetic words that I release. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about the daily prophetic and how, boys, it causes stir, you know. Not too bad, but it causes stir. Even within people I know, they ask, gosh, why does it sound so much like a, you know, a fortune cookie or horoscope? And I said, well, God told me to release them on Twitter, and they're small. I don't have time to exegete the passages, really. And it's just a new way of doing things. It's a new wineskin. And it's growing. And I thought about it. It's the smallest seed that's producing the biggest thing in our ministry right now. You know, it's very small. It's something that free that I just, you know, I release. I get them way ahead of time, and but it's producing a lot of activity out there and stuff going on. All right. Well, I got Nina in the chat room, and she is going to start texting me some different things. Some people are already asking. Here we go. What's the difference between wisdom and knowledge? Well, wisdom is how to apply the knowledge. The knowledge is the revelation from Jesus or from the Holy Spirit. Knowledge can be the revelation. It can be all the different things. It can be the thinking. Wisdom is the plan. It's how to do it. It's the one who steps up and says, "Here's how we do that." You know, the wisdom that it takes with that. Hope that is good. All right. Do we any word for backslidden or prodigals? I do that. This part of the billion that's going to come in, many of them are going to be part of that backslidden or prodigal sons and daughters are going to come in. And they will be part of the billion, but you know they won't be the majority of that a billion that are going to come in according to Bob Jones' prophetic word, because God is doing something new with the spiritual outcast. And these are the ones who never made it even. They got spit out by the church and run over. I was just going back through my notes just recently, and Bob Jones told me in April of 2007, he talked to me when I was on the phone with him. Boy, I wish I would have a recording of that phone call. It was such a precious phone call when he was talking to me personally about the 1 billion. And he always called it the house. He always called that, he says, we need to build a house for that. And I knew what he meant. He says it's a church that doesn't exist, a church without walls. And he was always talking metaphorically like a seer. And he told me that we're going to need a lot of money. And it's going to be more than the prodigals. It's going to cost a lot of money. And you know what? God is the God of a lot of money. And that's, you know, we're going to be doing all kinds of excited things, you know, not just us, but everybody's going to start doing some stuff. Go for the new. And don't, you know, go for something new right now. That's what God's doing. Here's another question. How do you handle interpreting a dream for someone and then another dream interpreter gives them a different interpretation than yours? Oh boy, I've had that happen. You know, I've interpreted well over 25,000 dreams, and this is where humility comes in. You know, be humble. And you know, you just be humble and just say, you know, you need to lay that out and take it to God. Unless you have a real good track record, you know, when Joseph stepped up in Genesis chapter 40, Joseph had a, you know, he really did have a good track record. He could step up. If you have a really good track record, like I can step in and say, you know, that's actually not correct. I usually say it in a humble way. I say that's not accurate, and I don't want to say anything bad about the person, because here's the thing: there's lots of different applications, and a lot of times some people will start getting, you know, ministering off the application, or they'll actually get a word of knowledge for the person. It's not actually the dream interpretation. There's usually one interpretation, but many applications. And it's multifaceted. It can happen, you know, it can be different things. So the best thing is to be humble and let God work through you. Because if you have a prophetic gifting, you have a prophetic calling, guess what? You have to go through the test, the fire of rejection. And boy, I've been through it. I just, in this last 5 years, I've just come out of a what would call an eagle's molting, you know. I lost my beak and everything for a while there. Got my beak back though. And it's a terrible time, but God, yeah, embrace it, and it's really cool. So, all right, here's some other questions. If you're on your knees praying and your knees are on fire, they're like heat, or you feel heat. What does it mean, please? Well, knees usually represent prayer. You know, knees are prayer. So that God's anointing your prayer. If you're quite often, my feet catch on fire. I know that the feet are the readiness to share good news. The feet are also symbolic of peace, that God's anointing that, or your walk. And so if your knees are on fire, he's probably giving you the gift or anointing your gift of prayer. All right. Here's another one. Explain the meaning of an angel in the spiritual realm leaving white large flowers, the petals, that have golden amber oil on my bed every night. Well, then, Wow. Explain the meaning. God's doing something because it's on your bed. He's doing something with intimacy. Flowers are intimate. You see the white, that's holy. Gold represents the golden anointing of God. And so this is the spiritual significance that God is deepening your intimacy with Him now, and He has an angel of intimacy assigned to you. Intimacy with God is so important because a lot of people think that they have to become, this is the movement that's going on right now. They're saying holiness, 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 that we need to be holy, then we become intimate. Oh boy, they got the cart before the horse, because you can be holy and get all brittle and become like the Pharisees, trying to be holy. But if you're intimate, holiness will come by itself. It will begin to work its way in right now. And I get, and boy, people argue with me over stuff like this because having encounters and getting people filled with the Holy Spirit, they're way outside the church, and they need intimacy first. They need the Holy Spirit first. They need it. All of us, we need to experience the Holy Spirit. And yes, the holiness will take care of itself later. All right, we've got a dream here. I have a dream that I was an agent, and I was running around trying to get trying not to get caught by people. All right, a secret agent. That's your calling. To be undercover, to be covert in what God has called you to do. And you're running around trying not to be caught because, being covert's okay. That means you're going to reach people who most others won't be able to reach. And it's so important that you do that and keep using it. I'm the same way. I have that same type of calling. All right, here's another dream. I was at an actress, no, excuse me. Yeah, I was at an actress's funeral, and there was a 10-year-old boy who told me that we were all pieces of God, and when he wanted those pieces back, he called them home. He called them home. So there's actress's funeral, and this boy tells them about we're all just pieces of God, but when God wants them back, he calls them home. It's just a prophetic sign that God is in everyone. We're all pieces of God. God created every, listen to me, this is a misunderstanding right now with a lot of people. God created everybody, and everybody has a piece of the Creator, and we need to call home the Creator in people. And the ET phone home, we need to call in. When I meet people, I just say, well, I find the gift that God gave them, because Satan can't create a thing. God has given gifts. Call that gift up out of them. And it's easy, so easy that a 10-year-old can do it, a child can do it. And so it was at a funeral because that we have to die to this old way of thinking that just that people aren't not all people could have the Holy Spirit, and that God wants to move in people right now. Don't get me started in this. All right, here's another dream that I woke up and I saw a man wearing a short jacket with gold buttons in my room. And he was staring at my wedding picture, and I asked who you are, and then who are you? And then I fell back to sleep. So she this person actually woke up and saw it's a young man wearing a short jacket with gold buttons. That was an angel that is assigned to you and your family, to you. I don't know if you're a woman or a man, but to your marriage. And that angel was assigned there to get you through all the things that God has called you to. So it's amazing that there's angelic assignments like that all the time. All right. Got Nina in the chat room, so don't chat in long dreams. If you have any supernatural questions or something, I sure can answer those. Or some shorter dreams is fine. Here's another dream. I was in a house, and it was raining outside. The roof started to leak, and I said to my husband, "We need to call the landlord." Well, wow, that's interesting because here we are. The roof usually represents covering, and so there's something right now. I'm not saying there's bad covering in over you or anything like that, but raining is also the symbolic of the spirit, and that there's something happening right now where the rains are coming, and God's showing you the things that need to be shored up to be able to handle this new move of the Holy Spirit in your life. And the landlord is the Holy Spirit, and is the Lord. And so God is calling you right now to shore things up so you can handle this new movement that's coming. God is pouring the rains. I believe that the weather patterns that we're seeing right now are also very symbolic. We're having a drought out here in California, whereas everyone else is flooded. Why can't we meet in the middle, and just share water somewhere, share some of that melted snow with us? And but I believe it's prophetic. We're going to see a breakthrough this year. You're going to see some things happen and open up. Don't look at the natural things, look at the supernatural. Stay at peace. It's very, very important. All right, here's a question. How can you tell if you're looking at someone in a cloud of witnesses versus an angel? Well, Hebrews talks about the being surrounded by the cloud of witnesses. And the cloud of witnesses are the people who have been in your family, who have gone on before, and they come to cheer you on, or those who, the cloud of witnesses that pray you through. We all have that. And then there's angels that are assigned. Well, usually you'll recognize people in the cloud of witnesses if that, or the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Or if it's just angels, you'll just ask God to show you the difference. Because if you're having this, if you're seeing this, then you already have a gift to see into the supernatural realm. So you want to ask God to give you, wisdom and understanding about what you're seeing. Most seers, they'll see stuff and they don't ask, or they don't know what it is. They don't know how to interpret it. And the problem that we have with being able to train seers is because most seers aren't good teachers. And you'll have a prophet who can come in, who prophesies, out of the mouth flows, it bubbles up, and they prophesy. But a seer is not like that. A seer senses. They have all the senses. They see, they smell, they taste. Everything is moving at the same time. And most seers aren't just prophets. In fact, they don't just prophesy just what they're hearing. Well, what's the Lord saying? And blah, 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 blah. They just prophesy that. They have to interpret it. And we've been trained. Most of us have been trained by prophets or teachers or pastors. We haven't been trained by seers. There's not a lot of seers. I'm a seer that happens to have a gift that I can communicate as well. And that's the crossover gift that I've had. But I've had to work at that to get it. And James Gall, my spiritual father, just sat down with me just last fall, and he said to me, it probably is because of my comedy ability, that I became a stand-up comedian that allowed me to be a seer into the spiritual realm and be able to communicate things in a way that people can understand it. But yeah, I just want to tell you that as a seer, I'm a seer prophet. As a seer, we drive people crazy because I see things before I get it in the Bible. And I have to go look at the Bible to figure out what it was. And so if you have that, begin to look things up. Begin to. I was in Bob Jones' house more than one time when we were looking stuff up in the Bible. We were opening the Bible up, trying to figure out what in the world that Bob just saw. Where is that in the Bible type of thing? So, we're backwards. But if you're a seer, there's many seers out there. You're probably drawn to me if you're a seer. You're drawn to my ministry. And we've been misunderstood, but God's going to raise up seers right now. Here's another dream. I grew a full but nicely trimmed beard, and I'm a female. Wow. You can make a lot of money off of razor blade commercials. Nope. It's actually a good dream. Beards represent wisdom and that you're growing in wisdom right now. Can I also say this? Is that if you dream that you're like, let's say that you're a man and you dream that you're a woman, or you're a woman and you dream that you're a man, the gender thing, or you see someone else, the same thing, you see your sister but she's a man. What it means is that you're walking through a season right now that you need that type of anointing. In other words, if you're a woman and you see yourself as a man, or someone as a man, you need to be more masculine right now in the sense of being tough. You need to get tough. And whereas the other way around, the femininity, that means you need to be more sensitive as a man right now to get through the season that you're in. It doesn't mean that you have gender issues at all. All right. Here's a dream. This person had a dream that a giant book fell out of the sky, or out of the sky with a first word was behold, and God turned the pages for me. Well, it's probably a prophetic gifting that God's showing you that He's doing something new, and the word behold because He's beholding something new in His word. So get ready for something in the word, something big, because it was giant, to open up in God's word, and He's going to begin to speak to you in the word. of God, just so you know. This is an exciting time to be alive, and I've been trying to develop my new material. I've never really released any prophetic training. I have my courses that I have workshops I do and stuff like that. I have my dreams. That's my thing that I specialize in. My Dream Crash course. If you haven't taken it, I highly encourage it. And the also the prophetic tattoo interpretation, because it's the same type of thing. It's interpreting metaphor, it's understanding of it. I finally have it in a book, as far as the dreams. I talk a little bit about tats, just a bit, and it's understand your dreams now. But I'm now developing some prophetic training. Even more than that, one of my big gifts is to teach people how to find their destiny. Because listen, we can be, you can hear God all you want, you can have dreams and visions, you can do all that, but until you're fulfilling your destiny, what it is that God created you to do and be, your uniqueness, you won't be fulfilled in life. God created you with this ability to serve Him, and He is the God of all things. He's the God of no limits. Therefore, you are created in His image. What you can do through His power and love has no limits, and we have to break through all that stuff. So I developed, it's going to be my first. I mean, excuse me, my third course in the, I have an Enlight school, Enlight University on my website, Enlight U, with internet training. And one is the Dream Crash course, and the other is the prophetic tattoo training. But now I have coming up shortly, Activate Your Life Calling, which is a 3-month course that can be taken anytime, anywhere. And it's my school of ministry that I'm walking people through. And then the next one that's going to follow that is growing deeper in the prophetic. So just want to tell you how all this lies together, because I'm prophetic right now. I'm hearing that some people are wondering about me and stuff like that. And Ephesians 1:17 and 18 is what I lay it all on. And you know that I pray that God would open the eyes of your heart, that He would be enlightened to be able to hear and understand wisdom and revelation, and that God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. And you know, I lay it all on that foundation to know Him better. And that is what revelation's about. And people misunderstand that. They judge me, they misjudge me. They think that I'm into the hype and I'm into just the revelation and stuff. But you know what? It is way beyond that. It is to know God better. And that's, at the end of the day, that's what counts, friends, is when you know Him better. All right. Here comes another dream. I grew a full, whoops, yep, I already had that. Got the giant book. Dream about a baby elephant who was not wanted. But what does elephants mean? Well, elephants could mean different things, and just so you know, in dreams, people ask me, what does blue mean? What does this mean? It's the context, because elephant could change. Elephants can be, old memories, because remember, elephants never forget. They could be big impact or something like that. But this, because no one wanted the elephant, the baby elephant, it's not an old memory that no one wanted. It's something, it's big impact. It's a gift because it's a baby elephant. Babies often represent gifts. And there's something that's going to grow big that God wants to give, but give to you, but or someone needs to pick this thing up. But there many people have been saying no to it. And so it's time to pick that stuff up. Here's a question. Can you ask heavenly angels to assist you, or do you ask God to send angels on your behalf? That's a good question. I've never really had a firm answer from heaven. I've had experiences though, and normally, up until recently, I've always asked God. I've never really talked to the angels. I don't call the angels forward. I usually talk to the Holy Spirit, because He's the orchestrator of it all. The Holy Spirit will do it. So I ask God, God, will you send the angels? If the angel happens to be in the room, I'm very much aware of it. It's very obvious if the angel's in the room, then usually the angel's in the room for a purpose. And that purpose, I want that, not my will. Usually that purpose is to do something from heaven, and only once in a while do I have this. I had an encounter over in South Africa in 2009 where I came back with a pack of angels with me. And the presence of God and angels was so strong in my house, and they were worker angels. And God spoke to me. He says, "Well, put them to work." I had to think about it. Wow, I didn't ask the angels; I asked God. I said, "God, here's the things that we really need. Would you do this, this, and this for us?" Next morning, I got up, and the house was empty. It was cold. There was no angels in the house, and I felt so alone. And I said, God, what happened to the angels? Did I offend them? And he goes, no, you put them to work. They're not omnipresent like the Holy Spirit or like God. They can only be in one place at one time. So I recommend praying to God through the Holy Spirit, but you can ask him to do things on your behalf. All right. It's misunderstood. Angel encounters are very misunderstood. In fact, there's a new book coming out, Angel Stories by John Nixon. Great friend of mine. I'm in it. I have a couple chapters, plus there's a DVD. I think it's two DVDs on the angel encounters, the angel stories with John Nixon. It's coming out through Charisma, but you can Google that. I think it's already out on Amazon. And I'm in there with a couple of chapters on my angel stories and others who've had angels, so you can learn from people like us who have had them and start to understand them and interact more. All right, here we go. We got something else going. I sometimes wake up with my arms in the air. What does that, does it mean anything? Probably that you're worshiping at night, and that, that you are, if you wake up with your arms in the air, that you're worshiping. There's a spirit of worship, and that there's something new coming to you, or you wouldn't be worshiping God like that, or you have this spirit in you that just constantly worships. All right, here's another question. Any word on marriages, relationships for this season? Well, I've had that same word for a while now about end time marriages. And I'm just baffled. I wish we could just have a meeting. I'm baffled why there's so many wonderful men and all these lovely women. And why don't we just have a meeting and call everybody together and say, hey, why don't y'all just get married? I don't get what's going on. I don't want to be judgmental or anything like that. But I think sometimes it gets more complicated than it needs to be. And that God's moving right now. He has indeed saved some people. He has. Don't get me wrong. He has saved people for this time. But this is the time that we can start moving forward now. We're going to start seeing more and more of these marriages, business partnerships, friendships coming together in this season, of course. All right. Well, I'm waiting now for Nina to give me something else. And here we go. How do we know what our destiny is? And I have a book called Personal Development God's Way that was in my Accelerating Your Life's Purpose audio set, where I've actually worked with people on how to find their destiny. You always say, wow, what is it? What is my destiny? Well, ultimately, the canned answer is to love God. That's ultimately your destiny. But God wants you to go beyond that. He wants you to tap into his gifts to be able to change the world. So I walk you through this stuff in my book and in my workshops and things like that. I'll walk you through and find clues. There's been clues given to you all your life. And it doesn't mean that everything that you're good at is your destiny, but it will give you clues. And so we walk through these exercises, what your destiny is. And then you come to a place, really, where you start working towards it. I had no idea that my destiny was to be a speaker and a writer. And here I failed English. And I did. I took one college class. That's all I ever took. And it was English. I failed. And I was terrible at English and speech. I got bad grades, but yet here I am, a speaker and a writer. I had no idea, but I had to pan for gold to find my destiny. I want to help you do that too. I'll be launching the Activate Your Life Calling. We'll help you as well. Watch my website, DougAddison.com, next month. All right. How do we, let's see. I had a dream of tornadoes. They dream all the time, multiple tornadoes at a time. What does it mean? It means that there's a time of turmoil around you. And if you're having the tornadoes and you're not dying, it's just telling you that God's aware of the turmoil in your life, and that to stay at peace in the middle of that. All right, here's another dream. I was in bed and I felt a force making me fearful. And I went to turn out the lights, and then the switch didn't work. But I tried to yell for Jesus, but no sound came out of my mouth. Okay, a couple of things here. First of all, there's a force trying to make you fearful. This is the key right there. There's a spirit of fear trying to stop you from taking authority, right? Wouldn't come out of your mouth, the authority. Fear was there trying to stop you from turning on the light, which is Jesus is the light. Add Jesus into the situation. So what you do when you have those dreams, you get up and you take authority in Jesus' name. I speak over fear. You will not control me. Begin to pray over that, and see if something changes in your life. All right, is that all we have there? We have one more. Here we go. What's the difference between an anointing for something and carrying a mantle? For example, prophetic anointing or a mantle or a prophet. Well, it's like this. It's like a gift. You can have the prophetic gift. We all have it. We all have the gifts. We have access to every single gift, just like Jesus and his disciples. The gift is there. Then God's anointing comes and he will touch that gift and allow it to be used in a greater way. And so you'll notice that the more you use a gift, and God begins to anoint it, in other words, the Holy Spirit shows up with it. But then if you carry a mantle, or a prophet, it means that you've been tested over time, that you've stepped into a season where God has promoted you, and you will know it. I never called myself a prophet until I actually had an angel come into my room, wake me up in 2010, and say, "You've been promoted into the office of prophet." But by then, people knew. They knew based on my prophetic words. It was more than just an anointing, but it doesn't matter. Keep using your gifts. Keep doing what God's called you to do, and you watch, and things will begin to change. All right, our time's up. Boy, the hour flew. And I just want to say, God bless you, Father. We ask that you would increase dreams, visions, increase all the finding your destiny and healing for everyone we've been praying for tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Be sure to check out DougAddison.com. Hey, find that donate button on there and consider partnering with us. God bless you guys, and see you on the internet. Love you guys.